This week's Parsha, Parshas Noach, we have, as we know, the story of the Mabul, the story of the Dor HaFlaga. We have a lot to talk about. Let's begin with the following. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Ches, Bo re'e kamakocha gadol shel chamas. Look how terrible it is when somebody's involved in acts of stealing or thievery. Sha'arei anshei Dor HaMabul avru al hakol. The generation that experienced the Mabul violated all of the laws of humanity, all of ethics of humanity. V'lo nechtam aleihem gzardinam. When did God decide to destroy them? When did God say, I've had enough with them? That was mishum shepashtu yideim begezel, because they were involved in stealing from one another in such dishonesty in the way they dealt with each other. Shanamar, because the pasuk says in our parsha, kimala haaretz chamas mipneihem hinini mashchisam es haaretz. Why am I destroying the land? Kimala haaretz chamas. Even though the land was doing many other things wrong, but what stuck out in God's eyes was the fact that people were being so dishonest with one another. So let's take a couple of minutes to talk a little bit about this idea. We have in Pirkei Avos a very famous Mishnah, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Omer. We are taught, al shlosh hadvarim ha'olam kayam. There are three values, three virtues that the world stands on. One of them is al ha'emes, on truth, al ha'din, on justice, v'al ha'shalom, and on peace. And that means that without emes, without people living a life of honesty, without people living a life of understanding for one another, there is no way that we can have a functioning society. In fact, one of the identifying characteristics that the Navi tells us in order to be considered a true Jew is somebody who is honest. As the pasuk says in Sfania, She'eris Yisrael lo yasu avla. The Gemara quotes this pasuk, and that's why it became more famous than many other psukim. We're told, She'eris Yisrael lo yasu avla. A Jew will not do something that is fraudulent, that is unjust, that is dishonest and unfair. V'lo yidabru kazav, and they will not speak words that are not truthful to one another. V'lo yimatze b'fiyem lashon trumis. You will never find someone say something as a Jew that is not completely honest. The Sefer Hasidim writes that if someone is careful to always speak honestly with other people, with other individuals, kishuhu gozer gzera lamata, when I say something that I want, down here, let's say I want a certain job, I want a certain shidduch, I want a parnasa, I want something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekayim alamala. So I daven for something, I say to my friend, I want this or that, God will listen to my words. Why will God listen to my words? Because every word that I say in every other interaction in life is honest and truthful. And God says, I don't want that to be the only statement that you've ever said that is not true. And therefore the Sefer Hasidim writes, God will listen to you if you are careful to always talk in an honest manner with everyone that you interact with. In fact, in the Sefer Orchos Tzadikim, which is sort of a unknown exactly who wrote the Sefer, it's an anonymous Mutzer Sefer from the 1500s. In the Sefer Orchos Tzadikim, he writes even further, Misha Margil Atzmo Shiyah Kol Machshavos Havemes. Someone who is careful to always think and speak with truth and absolute honesty, Gam belayla yira maros emes. At night, God will show you in your dream that which is truthful and honest as well. V'yodea ha'asidos kemo ha'malachim. And one could be able to see into the future, the truths of the future, which normally we cannot understand, we cannot have an inkling or an insight into. The Sefer Orchos Tzadikim writes, it could be that God will give that to you if you live a whole life of honesty. So, it certainly is something which is a incredibly important virtue. It's an incredibly important value that somebody must take very seriously. The Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim, Shlosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sonam. There are three individuals that God absolutely abhors, that God absolutely cannot tolerate at all. And one of those is HaMedaber Echad Bepeh VeEchad Belev. The Gemara says somebody who speaks one thing, but who's thinking something else. You go around and you speak to people as if you love them, as if you're close with them, as if you want to help them. And you really feel very differently in your heart, in your mind. You don't really speak the same way that you feel. The Gemara says God has absolutely no tolerance for a person who lives life like that. Simply stated, because the Gemara says, Chosamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. The mantra of God Himself is absolute honesty. And the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yates, a very famous Gemara, Locharvi Yerushalayim, the reason why Yerushalayim was destroyed is Bishvil Shepaskam Imenu Anshe Amana, because one was not able to find truthful and honest people. So God says, if you cannot live a life of honesty, we cannot have a Beis HaMikdash, we cannot have Yerushalayim. Which is why, in the flip side, one of the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon in the Sefer Kol HaTor writes that the Vilna Gaon told him that the Geula HaSida will come, the ultimate redemption will come when people once again learn to be living lives of upstanding citizens, of Anshei Amana, when people will deal honestly with each other in business, when people once again speak truthfully to one another. And he writes this all based on that Gemara. So the Gemara Maseches Sukkah tells us something which I know I'm not careful about, and many others I'm sure are also not so careful about. The Gemara says this doesn't only apply when we're interacting with friends or with colleagues, but it applies as well when we talk to our children. So sometimes you have a young child and you want to try to get them to do something, so you entice them by saying, I'll give you this or I'll give you that. Even if it's something small, says the Gemara, one has to be very careful not to promise something to children and then not follow through. Why? Says the Gemara, not only because you're being dishonest, but also because you're teaching the children that being dishonest is acceptable. And even though you'll say it's just a lollipop, it's just a small candy, it's just something, it's not really significant, but to the child it is significant. And therefore the Gemara says one has to be careful when raising young children or when talking to grandchildren or other kids that you're very truthful in the way you speak. They take things at face value, and therefore you might be teaching them this very negative trait of not being truthful, of not being honest in the way they speak. So we have to be honest in the way we speak. We obviously have to be honest in the way we conduct our businesses and our lives. So the Gemara tells us the following, and this is the way we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara says when we're doing business, Dvar Torah, says the Gemara, strictly speaking, we assume Ma'os Konos, which means, let's say I want to sell this item to somebody who comes into my store. When do they acquire ownership of the item? Says the Gemara, once they put the money on the table, really I should assume, once the money's on the table, now it belongs to them, and I now own the money. That's the way we transfer ownership. But the Gemara says we have a concern. If you're going to say that money alone is enough, before I transfer the item itself, the money alone is enough to transfer and acquire ownership, the Gemara says we have a concern. Shema Yomar, Nisrifu Chitecha Ba'aliyah. Let's say I'm selling you this item, and the item is not in front of me. I say, give me the money now, I'll go to my storage house and I'll get it for you. Then I come to you an hour later and I say, oh, by the way, there was a big accident in the storage house and the item that you paid for is no longer available, but you have to suffer the loss. Because at the time that you bought it, the item didn't get ruined yet. It got ruined after you acquired ownership. So the Gemara says we're concerned that you're going to be dishonest a little bit about maybe something happened in between the time that the money was given to you and the item was actually transferred into the ownership of the second party. Therefore, the Gemara says no longer is money good enough. You have to actually give over the item in order for it to transfer ownership. That's what the Gemara tells us. Now, there are many details, many specifics that the Shulchan Aruch describes when trying to explain this halacha. For example, the Shach writes, what if a person pays me only partial of the amount of money that they owe me? Let's say this item that I'm selling is worth $100. They only give me 50 and they say, I'll get you the 50 another time. So would you say in that case that also the transfer of ownership doesn't happen until I give him the item? How can you say such a thing? On the one hand, the Shach writes, maybe we should assume that that case is different. Why? Because he still hasn't paid me in full, so I can't tell him that, oh, the item that was destroyed and it's your loss. It's not totally yours yet. So maybe in that case, we should say just the $50 alone already gives him a 50% ownership because I have the other 50%. And the Shach writes, no, we assume lo plug rabbanon, this is across the board. When the Chachamim said, we don't trust people, and you have to actually transfer the ownership by giving the item to the other party, that means under all circumstances. That means in all cases, somebody has to actually get the item in order for it to be considered theirs, and it doesn't matter if they paid partial, doesn't matter if they paid full. Whatever the case is, we always assume it doesn't belong to the second party until the item is actually given over to the second party. So there's a very fascinating question that was raised by Rav Shlomo Drimmer. Rav Shlomo Drimmer was one of the great, great Gedolim in Galicia in the 1800s. He wrote a sefer called Tshuvas Beis Shlomo. He wrote many svarim, but the Beis Shlomo is a very famous tshuva sefer where he has the following question. He says, somebody bought a lottery ticket, and let's say the lottery ticket to go win a trip to Eretz Israel is worth $150. So it cost me too much money. Or let's say a lottery ticket to enter, maybe I'll win a car. They don't sell a lottery ticket for $5, they sell that for $500. Right, or something of that nature. You're going to win a car which is worth $20,000, so you pay $500, it's an investment. Problem is, I don't have $500 to spend on a ticket, so I figure I'll buy the $500 ticket and I'll sell half of it to somebody else. If we end up winning the car, then we'll figure out how to split the value of the car, but I can't make that investment on my own of the $500 ticket. So the Beis Shlomo writes, I go and I buy a ticket on my own, $500. Now I go to my next door neighbor, I say to him, look, I bought this ticket, maybe you want to split it with me, if we win the car, we'll split the value. So I go to the neighbor and I say to him, maybe give me $250. He gives me $250. I don't transfer the ownership of the ticket, I don't give it to him, because there's nothing to give. All we bought together is a schus, that if we win the car, it's going to belong to both of us. Now it turns out they have the drawing. I'm listening to the radio one day and I hear, by the way, Schechter won the car, $20,000. I go to my neighbor, I say, oh, by the way, I would like to renege on my agreement with you because after all, we didn't really transfer any ownership of anything. All you did was put money down. And the Shulchan Aruch says, if you only put money down and you don't transfer ownership of anything, then it doesn't work. So the Beis Shlomo wants to know, should you assume that a person is able to go back on their word after they've made an agreement with someone because the money itself is not good enough to transfer ownership? This is a major question in halacha, and this is something that needs to be dealt with. So the truth is, the Gemara discusses the issue. The Gemara says, let's say we have the following. Let's say I run a store, and I'm negotiating with you to buy this item. Now you put $100 down on the table to buy the item, and then I say, after the money's already on the table, I say, you know what, take your money back, I don't want it. Even though we negotiated, I agreed, I don't want to go through on the deal, I'd rather keep the item, I'd rather you keep your money. Do I have a right to do that after the money's already on the table? Says the Gemara, yes. Why? Because I haven't yet given you the item. So as long as you don't own it, as long as it's not in your hands, I can still have the right to say, take your money back, I'm going to take my item back, let's leave things the way they were beforehand. However, says the Gemara, a very famous line, even though I have a right to renege on the agreement after the money's on the table, Misha Para, we give a curse to somebody who does that, and we say, he, God, who para, who, I don't know how you say that, who paid retribution, he who punished, Anshe Dar HaMabul V'Dar HaFlaga, the members of the generation of the Mabul and the Dar HaFlaga, who also the Hipare, he is also going to punish he or she, She'eno Omed B'Diburo, he or she who is not honest with their word. So you promise me, I put $100 on the table, you're going to give me the item, and now you renege, even though I haven't yet given you the item, but still, how do you renege at a time like this, after we've negotiated, after I put down the money, says the Gemara, God who punished the Dar HaMabul, and God who punished the Dar HaFlaga, is going to punish you as well for not being omed b'diburo, for not being truthful to your word. You promise somebody the item, you don't go through with the promise, you are going to be punished, says the Gemara. Now, this is a major discussion in the Rishonim. What does it mean? Who gives this curse? So the Mordechai writes, we get up in shul the next morning, the Gabbai by Kriyas HaTorah gets up and he says, want everyone to know, Reuven was dishonest in his business yesterday. We announce it to the world. He should be cursed because he's a dishonest person, and we publicly humiliate the person. That's what the Mordechai writes. And the Rambam and the other Rishonim say, that's not what happens. That's a little bit extreme. What are you going to say? Just because I was a little bit dishonest, I negotiated with someone, then I reneged on the promise, now you're going to go and humiliate me in the middle of shul? So he writes, maybe we call you into a bezdin, and the rabbi gives you a curse, and he says, not nice the way you acted, and God's going to pay you back for what you did, and you should try to be more honest the next time. So that's a question in the Rishonim, exactly how do we give over this curse to a person, but the Gemara says we have such an idea, we have such a concept, that somebody who is not absolutely honest, even in the words that they say, perhaps the Gemara says you will get a mishapar, you will get a curse, the same kind of curse that was given to the Dar HaMabul and to the Dar HaFlaga, as the Gemara in Bava Metzia tells us. There's a fascinating question. You know, we just celebrated Chag HaSukkos. One of the important items one has to buy around this Yom Tov season is a lulav and esrog, dalad minim. And sometimes you go in Eretz Yisrael and people are negotiating prices back and forth. They want to know how much is this going to cost and that going to cost. So the Beis Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkish, has a very fascinating question that's raised by the Stechemed. I didn't read through the Beis Yitzchaks, but I did read the Stechemed. He has it there, verbatim, he quotes him, that he raises the following question. He says, what happens? Here I am, I'm selling lulav and esrogim. I negotiate with somebody that I'm willing to sell them an esrog for a certain amount of money. Now they put down the money, I say, you know what, that's the most beautiful esrog I have in my store. I really want to keep it for myself. I don't want to give it to you. So what's the halacha? I have a right to take it back. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. I have a right to take it back. However, I get a curse for doing that because he already put down the money. So now he takes back the money, I take back the esrog, and I get a curse for that. The Beis Yitzchak wants to know, am I even able to use that esrog now? Maybe it's a mitzvah haba ba'avera. Maybe the same way, if you go and steal a dalad minim from somebody else, you can't use it. Maybe if you do this also, that's already considered a mitzvah haba ba'avera because you were dishonest in the way you dealt with somebody. And maybe as a customer, he has a tvia, he has a taina, he has a claim against you, and therefore I don't have a right to use that dalad minim, which is a fascinating idea that we can take it so far that to discuss whether or not I can even use it. Either way, there's a major question that is raised by so many of the Rishonim and the later commentators, and that is, why does the Gemara choose specifically here? Somebody who's eno omed b'diburo, somebody who's dishonest in the way they deal with other people, in the way they do business, it says you get a misha para, which means you get a curse, that God who destroyed the generation of the Dar HaMabul and the Dar HaFlaga should also be the one to curse you. What is the connection between the Dor HaFlaga, the story of the flood, and the story of the Tower of Migdal, that they tried to make a revolt against God. What does that have to do with somebody who's dishonest in their business? There are many suggestions that are given, but Rav Asher Weiss once told me the following. He said, if you look carefully in our Parsha and you understand what exactly were the two transgressions here by the Dor HaMidbar, by the Dor HaFlaga, and by the Dor HaMabul. Number one, the Dor HaMabul, like the Gemara said in Sanhedrin that we began with, it was dishonesty. They weren't being honest with each other. They were ripping each other off. They were stealing from one another. They were being thieves. And that was the problem. It was a Ben Adam Lachaveru. When it came to the generation of the Dor HaFlaga, what was their problem? What did they do wrong? It says they were Safa Achas Udvar Machadim. They were all united as one. Everyone was getting along. Ben Adam Lachaveru was perfect. What was their problem? Their problem was an issue Ben Adam Lamakom. They didn't understand that God is in charge of the world and they cannot challenge Him. They said, Kochi Votzim Yadi, we're going to go revolt against God because we are more powerful than Him. So that was an issue Ben Adam Lamakom. So Rav Asher Weiss suggested a person who is dishonest with others starts with being dishonest with other people. He goes later on and destroys himself. He's dishonest with himself and his own spouse and his children and his family, those who are closest to him. And it ends up that you're dishonest with God. You think you can evade God. You're just not going to be honest in anything you do. You're going to have a deficiency not only in the way you interact ben adam lachavera with other people, but it's going to end up affecting your relationship with God and everything else that you have in your life, because a person who's dishonest doesn't know where to draw the line. And therefore he writes, that's why specifically the Gemara tells us here, Misha Para, the one who paid retribution, the one who destroyed the generation of the Dor HaMabul and the Dor HaFlaga, is the one that is ultimately going to punish the person who is dishonest in the way they deal with others. Why? Because if that's your way of life, if that's the way you deal with other people, ultimately it will lead you to also deal in a dishonest way, not only with your business customers, not only with your associates, but also with your own family, with those you're closest with, and ultimately to yourself and to God as well. And therefore we assume the same God that understood the ramifications of all that happened in the Dor HaMabul, together with all that happened in the Dor HaFlaga, is the one that is going to pay back the person who also is dishonest in the way they deal with others. So when we read Parshas Noach and we read about Malach Aretz Chamas, that there was so much that was dishonest in that generation, and as we said, the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, Lo Charvi Yerushalayim Ela Shepasku Anshei Amana, they could not find people who were honest any longer in the way they dealt with each other. It's a time, like the Talmidei HaGra write, for us to be mechazik ourselves in making sure that we will become Anshei Amana, that we show the Ribbono Shalom, that we show God, She'eris Yisrael Lo Yasu Avla. When we say something, we live by our word, our money is golden, people can trust us, and people should know that that's the way, that is the hallmark of an Orthodox Jew, that's what we're all about. We're not about cheating other people, we're not about stealing from other people, ripping other people off and trying to find a deal that's going to take advantage of somebody else. We do our best to show the world that we are honest in everything that we do, not only in our interactions with our business associates, but also our interactions with our spouses, with our children, and with, obviously, ultimately with God Himself.